Hey, and welcome to the GCC Youth Podcast. GCC Youth is a student ministry of Gracewood Community Church. We meet every Wednesday evening from 6:45 to 8. Find us on Facebook or Instagram at GCC Youth Lebanon and follow us for the latest on what's happening. We hope you're encouraged by this message and inspired to grow in your faith. Thanks for listening. Now to the message.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. How's it going? Hello. Oh, good. Storyteller time. You guys liking the Storyteller series? So this is the second week. We started a series last week called The Storyteller. And it's 4 weeks long, this one, and then we'll move on, I promise. But before we get started, we got to do something here. All of the seventh graders, raise your hand. Okay, eighth grade, ninth, 10th, 11th, and seniors. The lone senior. Okay, if you are anything except an eighth grader, if you are in any class except for eighth grade, please come forward and grab yourself a fruit by the foot. Anybody except eighth graders? That's right. Everyone gets candy but you. All right, is that everybody except eighth graders? Eighth graders, raise your hand. Do you have candy right now that I've given out, eighth graders? No. Okay. How do you feel? Feel good?
Yes.
You guys feel good? You feel, you wishing you got something? Is it unfair? Y'all don't feel hatred, do you? No? No hatred? So feeling left out is kind of an awkward, terrible thing sometimes, isn't it? Even if it's just over a piece of candy, it can feel pretty bad. But hear all those rappers? Everybody else got candy? Have you ever felt this way in life, though? Like, left out, uninvited to some degree? Maybe there was a party happening and everyone you know got invited, but you didn't get invited. Or maybe you thought everybody was kind of laying low one weekend, but then you look on your Instagram and it's like, man, they're all hanging out without you. It doesn't feel good, does it? It's the worst. Those of you who did not get fruit by the foot tonight, you know exactly what I'm talking about to some degree. Obviously, I did that on purpose to create tension, to demonstrate a lesson about being left out or uninvited, because we're going to talk about that tonight. And obviously that we know missing out on a piece of candy is nothing like missing out on being connected with other people. It's a whole different thing. You may really want that piece of candy, but that's not nearly as bad as really wanting to be included in a group of people or friends that have kept you out. Being left out is pretty bad, right? Eighth graders, you guys can come and get some fruit by the foot. I don't want you guys to feel left out. Someone pass those out. Poor favor. Thank you. All right, so we want to make sure everybody gets some candy. Anytime we get left out of something, though, we can't help but immediately start thinking about what we did to not get invited. You know, what did we do that made us so bad that we didn't get to share in a part of this? Yeah, I know y'all are happy to get that. Smiles as it's being passed around. Trying to keep the whole box? Man. We might ask ourselves, you know, what am I lacking? What's wrong with me that I'm not worth an invitation? And why does it make me feel so bad? I bring this up because I think some of us might have at one time, or maybe we feel that now. Hopefully not anyone in the room here, but maybe you feel this way about church occasionally, or maybe from time to time. And if you don't, there may be some of your friends who aren't here that may feel that same way, uninvited and unwanted. I worked with a guy once that said, you know, if I showed up at church, I'm pretty sure I'd get struck by lightning. He really said that. I told him he was probably right and walked away. Just kidding. I didn't tell him that. I actually told him that I was sorry that he felt that way and that I was sorry that the church had made him feel that way, because that was his impression of the church, you know. It's terrible to feel that way anywhere, and especially at church, right? But it didn't surprise me, really, that he felt that way. Why is that? Well, I think it's because this idea of being left out or uninvited is not a new thing. The fear of church that he felt is probably something that religious leaders have been imposing on culture for over 2,000 years, and it still makes the rounds today, right? It's still going around. And back in Jesus' time on earth, the religious leaders were the ones who got, they were the ones who got the fruit by the foot. They're the ones who got the candy, okay? They were the ones who were on the inside, who got all the invites, because they were viewed as the ones who understood God the most, better than other people. And they were considered superior to other people and everyone else. They were considered. To most people in that day and age of Jesus' time, it may have seemed as though God loved those people more than he did them. And that if God threw a party, they would be on the A-list, okay? And regular people, you just wouldn't make the cut, you know? Have you ever felt like just a regular person? You know I have. And so basically they live with this idea that you've got to be impressive. You've got to be really something to be invited. And there was a certain part, a certain person that you had to be, a certain type of person that you had to be, and you had to have a certain reputation, a certain lifestyle, a certain status. People were convinced that only people who behaved perfectly were welcomed into the presence of God. After all, God's guest list is only for the people who were truly deserving an invitation. But that's what they taught, that God was only for the holy, the ones who were noble, people who were already good, you know, people who were already worthy. And this meant that a lot of people were left out. So like we said last week, we all tend to believe that there are some groups of people who belong in the church, and there are some groups of people who don't belong in the church from time to time. It may cross our minds. And if it does, this idea has been around for a long time. It's caused a lot of tension between the church and people who are not in the church. And it's given the church a bad reputation over time. Maybe you have been the person who has felt like you haven't belonged. And maybe you're sitting here and thinking that if anyone knew what you've been up to, we'd wonder why you're here. Or maybe if I, as a youth pastor or professional churchy person, whatever, knew what you've been thinking or doing or what you've been believing or doubting, that I might even say that you don't belong. But if you've ever felt that way, just know you're not alone. I think at some point we've all felt that way in some circle, in some setting, we felt that way. And guess what? There's nothing wrong with you. So we got that out of the way. Nothing wrong with you if you feel that way, ever, or if you've ever felt that way, or if you ever feel that way in the future. But have you ever felt like you had to behave to belong? Like you had to, anyone else felt like this? That you had to just behave to get along, to belong rather? That you had to believe something in particular to belong, or that you had to be good to belong? That's a real deal right there, isn't it? Now you got to be good to belong here, you know. But here's what you need to know. Jesus is not where that belief comes from. That does not come from Jesus. In fact, Jesus made it really clear, very clear in his word, about how he felt about this idea. And he did that by none other than telling another story. And if you remember this series, we're talking about Jesus and his parables. He's called the great storyteller. And so he told stories or parables to give people insight into what God is all about. And this is the way he did it. And so oftentimes, the stories that he tells will take things that people believe and make them rethink what they believe and make them think differently about what they believe. So today we're going to look at a story that he told about who belongs and who fits in with him. The people then had a habit of thinking one way about it. When Jesus would tell these parables or these stories, their minds would be blown about their beliefs because he totally interrupted what was going on in their minds and in their hearts and introduced a different way of thinking. So there's a passage that begins with Jesus. He's hanging out with some people at dinner, okay? Easy to imagine, right? Hanging out with people at dinner. You're having yourself a fruit by the foot for dinner. People were talking. They were laughing, sharing buffalo wings. Not in Jesus' time, probably. More like unleavened bread or something like that, probably, than buffalo wings. But they're telling stories at dinner, things that people do when they're eating dinner. And so Jesus told a story about inviting people to a dinner party, okay? And a guy jumped in and basically said, man, it's going to be awesome when we attend that feast in the kingdom of God. It's going to be a blessing. Wow, it's going to be really cool. And we don't know this for sure, but there are chances that the reason he said this is because maybe he assumed that he knew what kind of party it would be and the kind of people that would be invited to that party. It would be the best of the best. Only the people who were famous or who were a big deal, who had status, would be there. And based on the religious leaders and the way they saw God, he might only invite the most impressive people, and maybe this is what he assumed. He probably assumed that he was invited. He was probably really feeling good about himself, but that's not what Jesus had in mind, which is why he told another parable. So in the book of Luke 14, it says, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.'" This is how parables would typically begin back then, like a normal story, right? So everything's going as you might think it would. There's a party that's planned. It's time for the guests. The guy's got everything set out and ready. And he's like, "Okay, you guys come on. Everything's ready." But there's a twist to this parable. It goes on and it says, but they all alike began to make excuses as people that he was inviting. The first one said, I just bought a field and I've got to go see it. Please excuse me. Who's going to miss a dinner to go look at a field? I don't know. If somebody cooking dinner for me, I'm going to be at the dinner. I don't know about y'all. But he said, I just bought a field. I got to go take a look at it. Please excuse me. And the story goes on, and it gives excuses from a couple other people as to why they would not be at that party. Now, if you're the host of the party, and you've invited these people, and you've done all this stuff for them, and you hear that everyone you invited has more important things to do, it wouldn't go over very well, would it? Like, you've done a lot to prepare for this, and you're probably excited about who's coming. You've invited these people. You got some expectations that aren't being met. And so that's how the host of this party felt, according to Jesus' story. He's kind of angry. He's irritated. All this work, and no one's going to show. So what does he do? Next verse, he says to his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, bring the blind, and bring the lame." So to the people listening to this story, this was a major twist. This guy is saying, bring the poor, bring the crippled, bring the blind, bring the lame. They're probably asking themselves, wait a minute, he didn't reschedule the party? You know, I couldn't make it, you know? He didn't send his servant to the first round of people who were invited and try to change their minds? No, he didn't at all. The host basically said, you know, if they're not interested in coming, I'm not interested in having them. So go out and I want you to find the people who want to be here, who want to come. And so that's what the servant did. In that culture, being poor or being sick or being disabled often meant being a social outsider. It often meant being an outcast. And those are the exact kind of people who got the invite when none of his original invitees attended. He invited all the people that no one would have expected to be there in the first place. He invited everyone who you wouldn't have expected to be there. And when he was done, the servant said, "Hey, there's still room for more. And we've got some people here, but there's still room for more." So what did he do? He sent the servant back out, and he told him, "Bring in anyone who wants to attend." And so he's opening the invitation to anybody. Why? He wanted a full house. He wanted people to be there who wanted to be there. And that was the only qualification. Can you imagine what the people listening to this story that Jesus is telling, can you imagine what they thought when he told it? And they're probably thinking, so this is not like the best dressed party for the impressive people in the kingdom of God to come to. It's not like the exclusive best of the best party. That's probably what they were all thinking, or maybe even asking. But nope, everybody was invited. The only requirement for getting in was showing up. And this is important. The only requirement in this party for getting in was showing up. And the people who did show up, they were blown away. Why? Because no one had ever considered them to be the kind of people to be invited to such a party. But in God's kingdom, they are exactly the right kind of people. And I want you to listen to this. Not because they had a lot of money, not because they were well-behaved, not because they were popular, not because they were well-connected, not because of their choices that they made, good choices or anything like that, or their religious beliefs, but because they just wanted to be there. Now, can you imagine if you're in their position, think about how they felt. Probably worthy, grateful, hopeful, thankful, you know. They probably felt honored. They probably felt pretty special, those kind of things. They were the exact people who weren't used to feeling accepted without conditions. because of their status, because they might have been sick or lame or poor. But in this story, Jesus was saying that's what the kingdom of God's like. At God's party, there's always room for more. Everyone's invited. Everyone can belong. You don't have to be impressive to be invited. You don't have to behave. You don't have to be good to belong. God's invitation includes everybody, and there's always room for more. But this means that you are invited. But there's also another group of people who were invited, or who are invited. Also, the person that you never expected, think about that. They're invited too. So you can say yes to the invitation, and you can literally invite anybody else. And this story is meant to help you change the way you think about inclusiveness in the church. Change how you think about church in general and who belongs there. And I hope it changes the way that you think about the kind of people that belong in church. What they look like, what they act like, what they think like. Because the most surprising thing about the parable that Jesus told is the most impressive part about it. It's the best part about it, and that is that everyone's invited. For those of you who are here, you're probably the people who are kind of already at the party, so I'll address you that way. I want to challenge you to extend this invitation that you have to others. You know stuff that other people don't know. You know the goodness of God, okay? You know the goodness of what He has done for you, what He's done for other people. That is called a testimony of what He's done for you. So you have this, and you can extend that invitation to others alongside that testimony, to the people that you may have already written off, possibly, or maybe you've discounted, like saying, they're never going to go to church. I know there have been people in my life where I've actually thought, this person will never set foot in a church. And like, you know, 5 or 10 years later, at some point, this person comes to church. And I feel horrible for thinking that way, because no one is excluded from the kingdom of God. Everyone is invited. So I want you to think about this next question. This is for you to think about. Who is it that needs an invitation? Who needs an invitation? I want you to think about that. And I want to give you a challenge, okay? This week, so I want you to just make a list of just 3 people you know who need to hear this message, who need to understand that God extends an invitation for them. All you have to do is jot it down for them to belong in His kingdom. You can put it on your phone, reminders app, jot it down on a piece of paper, somewhere where you'll see it. Then I want to challenge you after you've done that. And if you just think of one person, this is fine. But if you think of 3, the impact is even greater, because I want to tell you what we want to do. I want you to reach out to one of the leaders here. Or you can email me or DM our Instagram or however you want to do it. There's the info on the screen. If you want to do that, you can email. But I want you to put together a plan, nothing complicated. I'll explain in a second. Put together a plan, like something intentional to invite just one of those people to church next week. Okay? You're like, oh, I got a week and I get 3 people. Just work on one at a time. You may have 3 people. You may have a friend group who can do that. But that can be as simple as saying, okay, tomorrow at lunch or before the bell rings or out on the court before practice, I'm going to invite, and then you enter the name of the person that you're thinking of. Okay? And hey, let me know who it is too, because I want to pray for this person. That's why I want you to let me know. So I want to pray for this person. I want to join you in inviting them here as well. But I'll let you reach out to them first, because you do have that level of influence with them. And if nothing else, I want you to leave here today with a change in the way you think about who it is who belongs here. Everyone's invited. So when you see that really rough person in school, and you're like, it's never going to happen, you know, they never come to church, just know that God, nobody is beyond redemption, okay? Nobody's far enough away from God that God's hand cannot touch their life, that the Holy Spirit can't get a hold of them. All you have to do is tell them. All you have to do is invite them. The Holy Spirit will convict them. The Holy Spirit will prompt them to come. All you have to do is be obedient in inviting them. And so I want you to start seeing everyone as being invited to this thing that God is doing here. And not just here, but in your life, wherever you are, every single person. And so the next time you start to think that, you know, maybe somebody doesn't belong or that you don't belong, just remember that Jesus told this story that He told and the message behind it. There's always room for more. You know, what if we left here convinced that was really true? What if we started to see every person, including ourselves, that way? Because we don't always see ourselves that way sometimes, right? As someone who is invited, as someone who just needs to show up. Because you know what? When we say you belong here, we don't mean you belong here because you paid your dues. When you come here, we want you to feel like you belong here. We want you to feel a part. There's nothing expected of you. Just show up. That's all you have to do. And I think that would change the way we see God and the people around us. And it may change the way that other people see God as well. I believe it would. Imagine if every person at your school felt like they belong in the family of God. Imagine what that would be like. Imagine if everyone on your basketball team or your friend groups or wherever felt like they belong in church, whether that's here or in church in general. How might it change the way that they see God? Think about that. And remember, the kingdom of God is for everyone. Everyone's invited to the kingdom of God, including you, and including everyone you've ever met. It's huge. It's a big deal. It's a big assignment we've been given. The Bible calls it the Great Commission. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and I'm with you till the very end. That's what Jesus is saying. He's given us a command to go do that. And he's saying, hey, I'm with you. You're not doing it alone. So when you do it in the name of Jesus. You're not doing it alone. Now let's leave here remembering that tonight. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have opened an invitation to each one of us to be a part of your family, and we thank you that we just need to respond to that invitation. All we have to do is say yes. All we have to do is show up, and you take us in. No matter how broken we are, how much of a mess our life is, whatever we have going on in our life, God, we can come to you just the way we are, that you redeem all of that for your glory. And Father, we thank you that each person in this room is not just an attender, but is a warrior in the kingdom of God, in the sense that we have the ability to make a difference in the lives of the people around us through prayer. I pray that you would give them the courage to invite the people to come, that you would begin to impress on their hearts specific people that they could think about who may need to hear the message of hope that you have, and invite them. Father, I pray that you'll start working on their hearts, even tonight, even before they're approached by one of these in this room, that you begin working on their hearts, softening their hearts to receive what it is you have for them. We give you glory and honor. It's in your name we pray. Amen.